Our gracious God and Father, we humbly and reverently bow in Thy presence, in the worthy and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. We thank Thee for the opportunity again tonight in Thy will to open Thy holy word and read therefrom and seek to preach the gospel of Thy grace to those who are still without Christ in our company tonight. We thank Thee for the great provision Thou hast made in Thy beloved Son. None need perish, all may live, for Christ is dying. We thank Thee for the value of the death of Thy beloved Son, sufficient to meet the need of all men, everywhere, who is willing to repent and turn to Christ alone for salvation. We thank Thee for those in this company who can look back to a definite time in life when they passed from death unto life and from the power of Satan unto God, when that great work of salvation was wrought by the Holy Spirit in our souls, and for the first time we knew that we were heaven-born and heaven-bound. But tonight we pray for those who were still without Christ, in nature's darkness, and look to Thee, that there may be a moving of the Holy Spirit in this company, that boys and girls and men and women may be conscious of their great need of salvation. Grant that tonight hearts might be searched by Thee. We remember David said, "Search me, O God." And grant, Father, that tonight there will be a searching in this gospel meeting that will result in the salvation of souls for Christ. Bless the gospel in other places, everywhere tonight where Christ is preached, uplifted as the only remedy for the sinner. Grant that many might behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, that they might rejoice with us in Thy great salvation. Undertake for us, give us a good meeting right to the close, for we ask all in the precious and worthy name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we give each one a hearty welcome to our gospel meeting. We welcome you here tonight in the name of the Lord. We trust that your presence and the hour spent together will be for your blessing, and if not saved, for your salvation. I would like to read tonight in the Gospel by Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Now over to chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now a final reading in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Now that's all we'll read. We trust the Lord will help us tonight to preach the gospel from these scriptures. In Mark's Gospel chapter 5, we have a beautiful illustration of God's salvation. Here was a poor woman, but I would like to notice her tonight. While she touched the Savior, yet she had a responsibility to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior, or salvation, was within her reach, and her responsibility was to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Mark's Gospel chapter 1, here is a man who was within reach also of salvation. Yet, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. We see the response of the Savior to a precious soul within reach of salvation. I would like to remind each one in this meeting tonight who are not saved, you are within reach of salvation tonight. We read from Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. Here are a people who were once within reach of salvation, but now things have changed. They are out of reach of this great salvation. And their cry of remorse is, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. That reminds us tonight that while you are within reach of salvation, before this weekend is out, you could be out of reach of this salvation. With this same cry on your lips, my harvest is past, my summer is ended, and I am not saved. Those are solemn, piercing, searching words of precious soul who once sat in the gospel and listened to the word of God, who were once offered salvation by God through his word, and yet they put off salvation until finally they missed it. And now they're out of reach, out of the reach of this great salvation. We sing at times, oh, many were once as near heaven as you, but they lingered, they lost their day. They are weeping and wailing and wandering now on the coast of the castaway. They are far from the kingdom, far from the crown, from Christ and his ransoming cross. Oh, infinite sadness, no tears but his own could weep such a fathomless loss. What a solemn thing, once to have had the privilege of getting saved, and then to have missed it. And now, whenever you need it most, you can't get it. You have an opportunity in this meeting tonight of getting right with God. In Mark chapter 5, we have read here of a woman, a beautiful illustration of this great salvation. This woman had a need. She was very conscious that she had a need. And as she tried in herself, it took her 12 years to learn and find out that she could not meet that need and that no other person could meet that need for her. She tried one physician after another, and yet, while she may have thought, this is it, but she was getting worse instead of better. Is that not like a sinner? Whenever they desire salvation, they make up their minds, well, I'm going to try this, and I'm going to try that. God's salvation is not in your trying. God's salvation is in His Son. Now, I would like you to notice first this woman's disease. It was a deadly disease that she had, and that there was no cure for it, neither by man nor by herself. You have a disease tonight that you cannot conquer. That disease is sin. Sin in the human heart. Born in sin. Shapen in iniquity. You cannot overcome your sin. You need a Savior. Now this woman, we read that she heard of Jesus. This woman didn't hear quarter as much, perhaps, as some in our meeting tonight. She never heard very much about Him. But yet she heard enough. She heard, and then she came right to the Lord Jesus Christ. She touched His garment. Oh, you say, I can't touch His garment like she did. No, you can't. But you can trust Him. You can rest your soul upon this same person. For there's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. No matter how famous that name might be, there's only one way for a soul to get to heaven, and that's through the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. While she had the disease that she could not cure, we see her determination. She had her mind made up. If there's such a thing as a cure for me, I'm going to get it. Now, I would like you to ask you a personal question. Did you come to this meeting tonight to get God's salvation? In that soul of yours and your mind, did you desire earnestly, I'm going to hear the gospel tonight. I want to be saved. More than everything else in this world. Now this woman was determined. If there's a cure possible, I've got to get it. And I've got to get it now. She had tried for 12 years. She had spent all that she had to try and obtain a cure. And yet she couldn't have it. And then she heard of Jesus. Weak and sickly as she was. Now many thronged the Lord Jesus Christ. There were many people touched Him. But yet there was one woman. And she had a need. And whenever she touched Him, she was healed. Why were the rest not healed? They had no need. They were just there following the crowd. Crowd gathers a crowd. And multitudes thronged the Lord Jesus Christ. People don't get saved in crowds. They get saved as individuals. They may be in a crowd, We would love to see crowds saved, but individuals are singled out by the Spirit of God. This woman singled herself out. She was amongst the throng. She had a great need. And she was determined, if at all possible, I've got to be cured or I'm going to die. She was determined, if there's such a thing. I remember my own experience. I stood on a pool room floor and I made up my mind, if there's such a thing as salvation, I'm going to get it, and I'm going to get it tonight. Were you ever there? Did the Word of God ever come home to your soul that you made up your mind, if this salvation is real, I must have it, because I'm in danger of losing my soul for eternity. You know, whenever that dawns upon a person, it bothers them. It disturbs them in their sin. And they want rest, and they want peace, and they seek it until they find it. Less than 2 hours after I made up my mind, if God has salvation for me, I've got to get it, and I must get it tonight. You know, God looks for reality. It's not merely a matter of words. Luke chapter 18, the publican said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I have known people that have come to our gospel meetings, and they have gone home, and they have got down beside their bed, and they have cried, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then they look within, and nothing happened, and it didn't work. I know some who have tried that multitude of times. And sad to say, for many of them, it hasn't worked yet. Why? God wants reality. The man who uttered those words, he meant business. His sin bothered him. He thought he was too bad to be saved. Some people think they're too good. You know, you can be too good to be saved, but you cannot be too bad. You see, that's the opposite to what people think. Well, they think, if I could do this, and if I could cut off some of my bad habits, maybe God would save me. Ah, no, dear friend. It's only poor, lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners that God saves. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If we had a sinner in our meeting tonight, what's the message? My friend, salvation's in Christ, and in Christ alone. He came to save sinners. How does he save sinners? He died for their sins. 38 years ago almost, I made the great discovery that when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, He died for my sins. You say, did you not know that before? I knew it in words, but I said I believed it, that Christ died for me, but I'm not saved. But that night, I knew I was saved. I didn't feel anything. I didn't see anything change in that little living room where I sat in front of a fire of coals. Nothing changed around me, but there was a change. Whenever you get God's salvation, you'll know it. Without a feeling, without any of these things, when God does a work in a person's soul, they know. They pass from death unto life, from the power of Satan unto God. They are brought from darkness into light. They're lost, and then they're found. All opposites. While there's no feeling, yet the sinner, he has that knowledge of Christ, that He died for His sins, and by the Word of God, resting upon it, that's salvation. Now this woman was very timid. While she heard, and she came, and standing in the crowd, she says, if I could only touch His clothes. There we see her faith, her confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sitting down, she says she touched the hem of her garment in another gospel. Now the ladies tonight know the hem. When the hem is put in the garment, that's the finish. She touched the hem of His garment. What's the finish tonight? The Lord Jesus upon the cross, John chapter 19, He said, it is finished. He bowed His head. He gave up the ghost. Salvation complete. The work satisfied God. Finish. Does His work upon the cross satisfy you? Is it enough that Jesus died and rose again that you might be saved? You see, Christ was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. Christ died for our sins. But make it personal. Christ died for my sins. And He was buried and raised again for my justification. God is satisfied with the work of the cross. What about you tonight? Could you rest your soul upon a finished work that God says He's satisfied with, and He will give you and remove your sins if you take in the truth that Christ died for you? Do we not read in Acts chapter 16 the words of the jailer when he asked that important question, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. This woman had a responsibility. What was it? Just to touch the hem of the garment. You have a responsibility tonight in order to get God's salvation. What is it? You need to believe, or you need to trust the work of the cross for your soul, that Christ died for your sins. If I believe that Christ died for my sins, how do I know Christ died for my sins? I did not see the Savior die. I was not born when Christ died upon the cross. How would I ever know? History will tell you. A man called Jesus was nailed to a cross, and he died upon that cross. But friend, history cannot tell you that Christ died for your sins. That's the Word of God. And how is a person saved? Being born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This woman's responsibility, she must touch to link her to Christ. And immediately, she was made whole. And the Lord Jesus said, who touched me? The disciple says, everybody's thronging you. And sayest thou, who touched me? There was a woman in need. Touched him. Is there a soul in our meeting tonight? My friend, you're in need. In great need of salvation. While you can't touch him as the woman did, you can trust him. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That He died for you upon the cross of Calvary. What does God's Word say? The person that believes on Christ or that trusts Christ, God says they're saved. How can I come into the good of it? My friend, by taking His Word for it. He looked at this woman. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. After all the searching, 12 years, getting worse, and yet she was healed by a touch of the Lord Jesus Christ, the touch of responsibility. She was within reach of salvation. You are within reach tonight of this great salvation. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. We read of the other man in Mark chapter 1. He was within reach of salvation. But yet he came to the Savior. And he says, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. He had nothing to offer. He didn't say, I'm a gospel meaning going sinner. Is there any hope for me? No. In his helpless and hopeless condition, he put the whole onus on the Lord Jesus. He says, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. He didn't say, Lord, make me clean, or if I will, or if Thou canst make me clean. But he simply, completely surrendered himself. Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. We see the response of the Savior. How was he cleansed? By the Word. He says, I will. Be thou clean. The Savior was willing to cleanse this man. He's willing to cleanse you from all your sins. I remember saying to a young woman one night, she was anxious to be saved, tears streaming down her face. I says, if God told you you were saved, what would you do? She says, I would take His word for it. Well, that's how a person gets saved, by taking God's word for it. Isaiah 44, verse 22. God says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sin. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I explained it to her this way. A young woman in Moncton, New Brunswick, stayed behind one night. She had a few questions in her mind that she wanted to ask. I asked her to read that verse. She had a French Bible. I don't know much French, but I asked her to read me that verse, translated for me from the French, in her own mind. She says, I'll never forget it. I have removed out of the way, as a thick cloud, thy transgression. I have removed out of the way, as a cloud thy sin. Take my word for it, for I have bought thee. Now there's salvation in all its simplicity. God says the work is done. He has removed transgressions. He has removed sin. How did He do it? By the blood of His beloved Son. Praying tonight, the Lord Jesus said, we read concerning Him prophetically, Isaiah 53 and verse 5, concerning Him, but He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. The judgment, the hell, the lake of fire that was mine was upon Him, and with His stripes I'm saved, I'm healed. Salvation all outside of the sinner is all to be found in the person of God's beloved Son. Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 20. Here are a people who were once within reach of salvation. Now they're out of reach. Oh, listen to their cry. The harvest is past. The summer has ended. And we are not saved. Your harvest is passing tonight. Maybe before the weekend is out, your harvest will be past. Get right with God. Get right with God now. Tomorrow could be too late.